you, and welcome back to the Granite City Radio Theater here broadcasting live from the Pioneer Place in historic downtown St. Cloud on 88.1 KVSC, your sound alternative. We now go live to Centennial Park for continuing coverage of the Granite City snow removal blowdown.
Hello, and welcome to the 2013 Granite City Snow Removal Blowdown, coming to you live from Centennial Park in beautiful North St. Cloud. I'm Doug Durkauer, and I'm joined by local resident and two-time Winter Olympics attendee, AJ Sanders. AJ?
Thanks, Doug. You know, I'm looking at the lineup of snow removers and the so-called Frozen Chosen, and I think we have the makings for a classic snow removal blowdown, and the sparks were flying already yesterday in the time trials as reigning champion 3 years running Daryl Parker and his Toro Power Max 726 were eliminated from competition after one of his tire chains failed and jammed up his snowblower. He was safely on his way to make it into the finals, and it surely is a devastating blow to the former champion.
It's the kind of rookie mistake you don't expect a champion to make, but it's just a reminder that anything can happen here in the pursuit of clear passage. I'm glad to say no one was hurt, besides the Toro Power Max 726 that sadly was damaged beyond repair. Daryl Parker is in attendance, however, and though he isn't participating in the competition, it's good to see his spirits are high and he's here to support the other competitors.
It's got to be hard for him to say goodbye to the coveted Golden Choppers, the traveling trophy that has adorned his mantle for the past three seasons. The Golden Choppers have passed from champion to champion 22 times in the 29-year history of the competition, and with Daryl Jameson thawing out this year, who of the Frozen Chosen will be our next champion?
We're about to find out, as it looks like the competitors are taking to the tundra. In the first position is 40-year-old Bill Larson of St. Cloud, pushing a Honda with hydrostatic drive. And I'm surprised to say that this is a single-stage machine, something we rarely see here in the final round, with most competitors favoring the two-stage snowblower. What do you make of that, AJ?
For our listeners at home unfamiliar with the difference between a snowblower and a snow thrower, allow me to clarify. The two-stage machines have a large horizontal auger that breaks up the snow, feeding it into the blower chute, where a perpendicular high-speed rotor then propels the snow out. And that's mostly what we see here in open competition. Larson's machine, on the other hand, has just a single set of rubberized blades that rotate at high speed, throwing the snow out the chute. Single-stage machines are generally smaller and more maneuverable, but lack in power.
It may seem like an odd choice, AJ, but a lighter machine means Larson has speed and maneuverability on his side, and I think that's what he's counting on to take him to the winner's circle. He's going to have to rely on his own physical strength to stand up against the competition, but after what we saw of Larson in the time trials, I expect he's up to the challenge. In the past, we've seen him use a two-stage blower when the snow was deeper and stickier, but the recent cold weather snowfall left us with about 6 inches of loose powder, and that is just ideal for a single-stage blower. He might be onto something, AJ.
And following Larson is first-time blowdown competitor 32-year-old Sandy Clark of Sartell, pushing her brand-new Briggs & Stratton 305 LS. This machine has it all. Six-gear transmission, omnidirectional suspension, electric chute deflector, heated grips. It's got everything but birth control, Doug. It's what you expect to see here in the blowdown finals, and listen to that crowd. It's clear they like what they are seeing. I can only imagine what's going through Bill Larson's mind as he stares into the gaping maw of such an awesome machine.
And finally, making his way to starting line is 67-year-old Orville Evans of Luxembourg, Minnesota, pushing a classic green and yellow John Deere 826.
Oh, that brings back memories.
It sure does, AJ. And though we haven't seen the title taken with a John Deere in over a decade, historically, it's still the winningest make of any blower in the competition. And I think... Yes.
We've got some John Deere fans here this evening. Apparently one single-stage fan up there.
You know, I think this might be the year of the deer, AJ. You can tell a lot by man by his blower. And the old 826, that is a dependable, no-frills workhorse. Evans, who has worked as a professional snowplow driver for over 30 years, has experience on his side, something no amount of features can make up for.
And it looks like we are about to get underway here at Centennial Park. Each competitor will clear a 12-foot path from the starting line, at which point they must clear a 16 by 20-foot area with room for one recycling bin and a garbage bag. The competitors must leave a minimum of 4 feet of clearance in every direction of the bin and the bag, or they will be disqualified. The person to finish the job and return back to the starting line will be our today's champion.
The judges have taken their seats, and the Honorable Mayor Dave Kleiss has the honor of starting the race.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
And they're off. Larson is going for speed as he dashes out ahead of Clark and Evans with his single stage machine. And he needs that early lead in order to make up for the extra passes. But oh no, it looks like he's getting a little overzealous. He pushed faster than his thrower could handle and it is jamming. He's backing off now, allowing the jam to clear. But Larson and Clark are making steady progress.
Sandy Clark now shifting gears on her Briggs and Stratton as she begins her first pass on her 16 by 20 foot area. She's getting ahead of Evans, who has just finished his 12-foot path, and it looks like, I can't believe what I'm seeing, he's disengaged his auger. He's reaching into his pocket and is now spreading a handful of salt and sand on the path. He's a professional, Doug, but could this be a waste of time? He's now nearly two passes behind Larson and Clark, who are neck and neck fighting for first place.
Evans has just returned to his blower and begins his first pass, but just look at the speed and precision with which Bill Larson corners around that recycling bin. This is where his smaller machine is really going to shine as he moves on to the garbage bag. He is really pushing to stay ahead of Clark, who is nearly halfway done with her. Oh no! Strike two for Bill Larson, who in his haste to corner around the garbage bag, caught an edge and caused a rupture. He's gonna have to rebag, folks, and that's going to cost him a lot of time.
As well as a dollar.
You know, I'd be surprised if he could recover from a mistake like that, AJ.
He can't be happy about that one, folks. Evans on the John Deere is moving some serious snow now. It looks like he's building momentum and has found his rhythm, but he is still trailing behind Clark, who has now overtaken Bill Larson for the lead. It looks like she could do it.
Larson, now in third place, is going to have to push even harder if he wants to get back in this competition as he fights to catch up to Evans, who is maintaining a steady pace. Clark has shifted gears again and is tearing through the snow and about to make her final pass. She's turned the corner and is coming to the end. Larson and Evans following suit. It's still anyone's game. She's turned off her snowblower and is now making her way back to the starting
line. But she's getting a red card, Doug. The judges are telling us that, yes, she left only 3 feet 10 inches around the recycling bin.
Oh.
She is disqualified from the competition, and what's worse, the city will not be picking up her recycling anymore. She has received notice. And now Larson and Evans are fighting head-to-head, mano-a-mano, blower-to-blower, for the right to wear the golden choppers.
Larson has a small lead on Evans now as he finishes his area and sprints back to the finish line. Evans, close behind, is making his way back to the pack.
And strike three, you are out of there, Bill Larson, who has slipped on the ice and face-planted first into the frozen ground. Orville Evans, having salted his path, has no trouble getting back, and we have a winner!
Ladies and gentlemen, Orville Evans on the John Deere 826. We have a new champion. What a blowdown it has been for me, for AJ, and for the Granite City Snow Removal Blowdown. Good night.
That certainly was exciting, live coverage of the Granite City Snow Removal Blowdown. Andrew Walsh, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you might not know this, but actually Andrew and I went to grade school together and we're in a children's singing group called the Crayons. I don't know if any of you are fans.
Come on, Crayons fans.
Fans of the Crayons.
Where are you?
We've got some fans here tonight. We also have an excellent fashion sense as we are indeed wearing the same suit.
I chose the vest. He chose the jacket.
I did, yeah. But Andrew, you know, I know you've got a lot of fans here tonight. But for those who don't know you, you know, how did you get into jazz? It's not something I hear a lot of young people getting into these days.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me that. I started listening to Ella Fitzgerald and Frank Sinatra when I was just a little kid, 10 or 11. And then somewhere down the road, I met these two guys, Muggsy and Jeff. Give it up for them. And actually, Pete Johnson over on the drums got his foot in the door with these two. Yeah, give it up for Pete.
Son of champion Laurie Johnson of trivia fame.
As a matter of fact, Pete's in fresh from grad school in L.A. He landed last night, so we're really fortunate to have him tonight. But anyway, Pete got his foot in the door first with these two over at the Tavern, which is now, I understand, a country bar, correct?
Cowboy Jacks.
Cowboy Jacks, yeah. I'm sorry. That's what it's called. I couldn't remember the name. Anyway, so then somewhere down the line, I hopped in and stopped into Jazz Night, which used to be over at the Tavern, and these guys were gracious enough to let me sing with them. And I kept singing, and here I am.
You were hooked.
I was hooked, and now it's 10 years later or something like that. Crazy. So, yeah.
And how long have you been playing the piano?
I started piano senior year of high school because I got tired of wanting to sing and having nobody to play with me. So I thought, I'm going to figure out how to do this so I can sing whenever I want.
I've been watching him all night. His fingers have not left his hands, ladies and gentlemen. It's amazing. So where do you go from here, Andrew? Do you think you'll be staying in St. Cloud? I mean, a talent like you, I
love St. Cloud.
I do too. And, it's a great town to live in. A great place to be from.
Jay and I were just talking about this the other day, and we're so happy to be able to perform here in St. Cloud. It's so much fun. I play in the cities a lot nowadays. I'm also working on a project in Nashville and due out this spring, and we're actually going to do a cut from that next.
Tonight?
So, yes.
So this is kind of an exclusive.
It's an exclusive thing that these guys just learned about an hour and a half ago. And
hey, all right.
And so, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. But I'd also like to take a second, if that's okay, to thank the fabulous horn section here tonight.
The horns are plenty.
Which I would like to call the Laughing All the Way horn section, because it's the same exact folks that are in our Laughing All the Way holiday show here at Pioneer Place Theater. Get your tickets. I think that's the third plug of the night for that.
Yeah. So.
And just quickly, you don't need to clap individually, but I'd like to give a shout out to Pat Thorne, Ken Vork, Gretchen Vork, Mike Anderson, and Al Osmus.
Well, we want to play a little song for us?
Let's do it.
All right.
This is called Speed of Love.
Two, three.
Yeah, yeah. The sun comes up over our heads. You give me a push out of our beds. Someone's got to move the car to the west side. It's a Monday morning, it's almost 8. The traffic cop is never late. She puts the wiper on the ticket like a paperweight. And we can't pass just like a shot. The coffee's down to the bottom of the pot. As we sit sipping on the last couple drops. Hey, now here's an idea. Let's pull the shades, turn out the lights. Pretend the day is still last night. While the world outside just races by the way it always does. Take it slow, take it easy. We don't have to rush, believe me. We'll get there soon enough at the speed of love. Could spend the morning like every other day, stuck in traffic on the interstate. But come on, babe, what do you say? harm in a couple taps on the snooze alarm, just passing time in each other's arms. Pull off the covers and stay in bed, cuddled up like a couple of newlyweds. I kinda like that idea instead. Hey now, what do you think? Let's pull the shades, turn out the lights, pretend today is still last night, while the world outside just races by the way it always does. Take it slow, take it easy, we don't have to rush, believe we get there soon enough at the speed of still last night, while the world outside just races by the way it always does. Take it slow, take it easy, we don't have to rush, believe we'll get there soon enough at the speed of love.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Andrew Walsh and Collective Unconscious. Joining me on the stage now is an old friend, Jeff Carmack of KVSC fame. You may know him as Iowa Jeff on the radio. I know him as Jeff the Poet from the Brand Variety Hour. He and I were, gosh, we might be the only two founding members still around.
Left in this town, yeah man. Everyone else has gone on to bigger and better things.
And that's
awesome.
That's a great thing.
We've kind of...
For them.
Well, you know, this is kind of grown the concept. I mean, you've got Laughing All the Way. That kind of spawned out of the Rand of Variety Hour.
In a way,
prime
yeah.
Time show. In a way, yeah. This show kind of came out of Rand of Variety Hour. Kind of, sort of.
It all starts with late night dirty comedy.
Yeah. Our next venture should maybe internet fail videos. That could be an option.
Probably that's where we'll end up, yeah. I understand you have a little poem for us.
Yes, I do. I have a beatnik retelling of a classic tale.
All right, featuring Al Asmus and Pete Johnson on the drums. Take it away, Jeff.
All right, this is a little piece I like to call The Groove Before Christmas. 'Twas just hours before Christmas when all through the pad not a hipster was grooving. It was making me sad. The stockings weren't hung, the mantle was bare. See, these hipsters wouldn't believe in St. Nick, not even on a dare. This gigless band of groove chickens, currently homeless but smug in their heads, had DVR Jeopardy reruns to tuck them into their hide-a beds. My old lady didn't buy it though. She said I was a sap to take in these hipsters, so she laid down her rap. They don't even pay us rent, them and their bongos. And when they smirk at your Christmas, look where your mind goes. Come on, baby, think about it, I said in return. Ever since Black Friday, it's just all a consumerist burn. She shook her head, wrinkled her nose, and gave me a glare. Good luck with your friends, then walked on up the stairs. The hipsters were snoring and ignoring Alex Trebek, so I shut off the TV and went out for some air on the deck. There's drama soup in our soul kitchen, all pots and pans and clatter. Straight up groove taters, my holiday spirit needed to get fatter. That's when I heard it, over the moon shadows on the marshmallowed snow, a hushed, whisperless world, silent but for a distant jingle, daddy-o. As the sound got louder, I looked to the left, to the middle, to the right. 'Twas only when my eyes wandered up, though, that I actually caught the sight. My brain burned bright, putting together what my ears couldn't see and what my eyes couldn't hear. For circling my snow-peaked roof was a funky little sled and 9 tricked-out reindeer. Now, I trusted my mind, but could this be a trick? Was this really, really, really St. Nick? Quick and smooth as Kerouac's shoes they came, and the driver, he hooted and hollered and laid them all out by name. Hey now, Dasher, Dancer, say now, Prancer and Vixen. Come on, Cupid, Comet, rock on, Donder and Blitzen. Now dance away, prance away, dash away all. You all follow Rudolph on up over that wall. Swooping like starlings, they darted with ease. But wait a minute, was he just singing the Black Eyed Peas? Then the sleigh full of toys came to rest on the roof, and I ran in for my camera so I could give me some proof. The hipsters still snored, and noisily I dug around, but before I could grab it, out from the chimney came St. Nick with barely a sound. Decked out in a rosy redness to make thee, Riding Hood, jealous, he dusted off his digs in a mood both smooth and not too zealous. See, he was actually dancing to a groove only he could hear, 'cause up through his snow-white beard wound wires to buds tucked into his ears. Then, in a twist and twinkle wink of his eye, yeah, he saw me, and see, he did I. Now, not to be a downer, but looking around the crib, I was getting nervous, and no, I will not fib. Ne'er a tree, wreath, or sprig of mistletoe, the absence couldn't be missed. No milk, no cookies, not even a nativity. Oh, we were sure to be on that naughty, naughty list. But then he did it. He bellowed out a laugh, and he slapped his big belly. Tell you what, Hepcats, it truly was rolling like a bowl full of jelly. Ho, 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 my little mister. Don't worry now, you cuddled up house of slumbering hipsters. You skit, scat, scuttly dude all the way onto my nice list. 'Cause you don't got squat, but still in this home is pretty plenty of Christmas. You and your lady provide a roof for your friends. If you didn't, this little band would all come to far poorer ends. And even though she's grumpy, there's still groove in her heart. So here's your gift, Daddy-O. It's the music you've forgotten to take you back to your start. And then from his bag, stuffed with toys and trinkets, out came a saxophone along with some blankets. He tucked in the hipsters a little tighter than before. They smiled a little deeper, and deeper they did snore. Then he passed the sax to me and told me to play. Still a little fanboy, I heard myself say, but I haven't played since I was a kid. Well then, my far-flung hipster, it's about time again that you did. Here, just follow along to this poem with me. It's a call and response. It's easy, you'll see. Just a funky, dreamy piece of vacation I keep bringing back to myself every time I pick up reindeer poop or have an argument with an elf. It's called Santa's New Year's Haiku, and it can get a little heady. So just warm up that sax a bit and give me a toot when you're ready. Early morning yellow flowers, thinking about the hammocks of Mexico. Vast open breeze, distant mountains, beach forest, we all sing and listen, sigh. A cat, a dog, a bird, which yoga best for drinking out of a coconut? Small cabin making bread, there's a kayak over there, an easy to-do list. All day long, wearing a dream that wasn't in my head. 'Twas then that I awoke on that crisp Christmas morn dawn. Hipsters around the room with high fives and ride-ons. Seems they were, too, visited by Santa. They'd be leaving that evening for a gig in Atlanta. As for my lady, her present was pajamas. She really thought they were nice. I know because she smiled while handing me my tea with just a slight bit of spice. But the gift that awoke my sleepy heart most in my hands I held tight, a saxophone and on it a note, a happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Thank you, Jeff. And now a word from our sponsor.
Sketch was made possible by the Central Minnesota League of ASL Carolers. Let's hear a tune, shall we?
KBSC brings our unique blend of Minnesota music to you every Monday night from 7 until 10 p.m. I'm John Drake, host of The Area on 88.1 FM. The Area features music from local artists from St. Cloud, the Twin Cities, and beyond. The program showcases new breaking musicians, current established Minnesota bands, and legendary, sometimes obscure, records from the artists who put Minnesota on the music map. Following The Area is Monday Night Live. Mondays are a must for Minnesota music fans on your sound alternative, KVSC.
Once again, and welcome to What's Up For Today on this Wednesday, December 11, 2013. My name is Gina, letting you know what's up in St. Cloud and the surrounding area. Films showing up at Marcus Parkwood Theater today include Lee Daniels' The Butler, Gravity in 3D, Captain Phillips, 12 Years a Slave, Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa.
There we go. Now the exciting conclusion to Shades Brigade and the return of the Duchess.
Was holed up in the abandoned the Tour de Guay, a city watchtower in Calais that was no longer in use. See, that's why I've taken over, because Jack has to be all hush-hush. Jack was in the tower itself. It was dark, except for the moonlight pouring in from the stone opening that looked out over the entire city. The room was about 20 square feet, with a spiral staircase leading up to the middle of the floor. Poor Jack had been there for almost 12 hours waiting, not knowing if the plan had worked, was fraying his nerves, which I could tell because he gets all tight around the jaw. There was nothing to do but sit and think and wait. Isn't that right, Quinn?
Indeed. He listened closely, intently, for any sound at all. He knew for sure that he had been followed since leaving Paris. But who? He couldn't be 100% sure. But there was only one person it could be. Only one person that made sense in all of this. The figure in the shadows, on the train. Who stabbed me? It had to be... But if he didn't show soon, Jack was going to go crazy. What if he was wrong? The plan at the museum was done, and the police would be there any second. And if the police beat our shadowy stalker...
This is it. Someone is here. But who? Can't be the police. Not yet. It's getting closer. I gotta be ready. I crouch down behind a desk as far away from the stair opening as possible. Coming up the stairs, there he is. I could make out it was just one person. Now's the time that I find out if I was right. Hello, Anton.
Hello, Mr. Shade. You were expecting me, were you?
I was counting on it. It made sense. You're the one that's been following us.
Yes, yes, that is true. However, you would have never known if it wasn't for the terrible screeching every time I got near you. I tried to peek in a window to see your face. Your frustration. Your exasperation.
I knew you'd want to be there. See us get caught by the police. See our demise with your own eyes. You just couldn't stay away.
Well, what fun would it be getting rid of our arch enemy if you could not see his eyes at the moment of his reckoning?
But I count on to you, Worth, and there'll be no reckoning for us.
A ruse? Mr. Shade? Is that what this is? How wonderful. Yes, tell me all about it. I know you are dying to tell me about my reckoning.
The brigade's not with me. Neither is the Duchess. I came here alone knowing you would follow me. This is not the cane with the Duchess inside. The rest of my team went their own way and took the Duchess back where she belongs, back to the museum. Your infatuation with my demise will be your undoing, Worth. Any second now, the police should be here. And in about 2 minutes, you're going to be tied up and slightly beaten just for my own satisfaction. And then I'm going to turn you over to them. And then you're going to be out of my hair for good.
Yes, yes, yes. By all means. On guard. Or as you Americans would say, put up your dukes.
Gladly. You had enough?
Yes. Yes, yes. I give up, Mr. Shade. I surrender.
Sorry. I heard you too late.
Mr. Shade, you are here, no? Mr. Shade!
I'm up here! I'm not armed!
Oh! Jack! I am so sorry, but you are under arrest. We have recovered the Duchess from your captor, and he told us you would be here. Ah! Wait! Who is this? On the floor!
Lieutenant Charles Luzet of the French police.
Yes?
Meet Anton Worth.
Sacre bleu! The Anton Worth?
The one and only. I'll give you the details later, but this whole painting heist was him setting us up. You tell him, or I'll leave my calling card on your other eye.
Yes, it is true. I stole the painting. It was I. I framed Mr. Shade here, but alas, I have... I have... failed.
I do not see what is so funny, Mr. Worth. In the name of France, I place you under arrest.
Yes, yes, of course, Lieutenant. Of course, I will go peacefully. A small request. May I have just one small moment alone with Mr. Shade here?
No, I do not see...
No. It's fine, Charles. Where is he going to go? Out the window? It'll be fine with me.
Well, I thought I was the chief of police here, but as you wish, Mr. Shade, Jack, I'm very relieved that I can stop pursuing you, my friend.
You and me both. Well, Anton, what is it?
I just wanted to commend you, Mr. Shade, on your brilliant ruse. Turning my infatuation, is that what you called it? Yes, yes, my infatuation with your demise, turning it against me. And now, here I am, arrested. After all these years, it must feel so good, Mr. Shade, so satisfying. Yes, yes.
What's your point?
I just wanted to say I'm sorry that you will not be able to celebrate your victory with your team.
How's that?
Oh, well, you see, Mr. Shade, you underestimate me yet again. Do you really think I'm so daft as to fall for such a simple ruse? Do you really think, Mr. Shade, that I would have left anything to chance? Yes. The police have me now. For now. But believe me, it won't be for long. My network is wide and far-reaching, Mr. Shade. And as for your team, like I will do again, they have disappeared.
Why? Where's my team? What do you know?
Calm, Mr. Shade. They were last seen leaving the Agnew Museum, and they are now somewhere on this planet. I have them now, Mr. Shade. They are my prisoners, and I will kill them, Mr. Shade. Have no doubt. One by one, scattering them across the globe, while you ineffectually pursue them for the rest of your life. Touché, Mr. Shade.
You've been listening to Shade's Brigade, created by Eric Webster, starring Shannon Custer as Kate, Lee Adams as Cooper and Ernie, Eric Webster as Jack and Anton. Your announcer and Quinn, played by me, Dave Gangler. Tune in March here at the Granite City Radio Theater for the next episode. For all information regarding Shade's Brigade, please visit shadesbrigade.com.
Eric Webster, ladies and gentlemen. So, Eric, what kinds of things will people find at shadesbrigade.com?
What kind of things?
Yeah.
What games? No. Shades Brigade games? No, I don't know. We have the... Here's the deal. You guys have now heard the third episode of 6 episodes that have been written and performed of the first adventure. So at the end of the 6th episode... it wraps up, and then there's another adventure. So on shadesbrigade.com, you will find, you can listen to all 6 and close your eyes and sit in your bedroom and listen to them. And details and information on where you can, other places you can go and see this perform live. And pictures of puppies.
And yes, I understand
it's an hour
longer,
long.
Right?
Yeah, each episode is an hour. Yeah. Each episode's an hour long.
Yeah.
And when you go to see it live, or if you listen, each one's an hour long. Yeah. And
that's great.
Yep.
Well, you got any other shows coming up?
Well, what we did, I actually laughed like that. It wasn't really hard for me to do. My wife
this
hates it.
This is the character voice right now while we're here.
Right. My wife, who plays Kate, God love her. To marry a guy that goes,
I do.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, where's my Jameson? Yeah.
We did a Christmas special.
Oh, really?
And I would like to point out something that I just said, and I'm going to say it again. It's a Christmas special. I got a couple of woos. I don't know. Because it's 1946 and no one even knew the word holiday special back then. It was Christmas. So,
don't worry, this is Stearns County. So, you're probably okay.
Right. So we wrote this thing. So this takes place where we are right now. It's 1940. and it's all historically accurate. The Christmas special takes place in 1946, and it is actually the last episode ever of Shades Brigade, but I have to write, you know, the other 5 years behind it.
Prequels leading
and it's
that.
A Christmas special, and my favorite part about the special is because I can write anything I want, there's a robot fight. No, wait. There's a robot fight. Which is awesome. I know. I got to write a robot fight. And then Jack saves Christmas. They go to visit Cooper's Uncle Jingles in Adairsville, Florida, and there's over 50 inches of snow, and there's an evil scientist that's controlling the weather, and then they get that evil scientist, and then the final scene is all about...
You realize they don't have to go see it now.
No, I don't care. It's not about getting rich, people. It's about art. Right, band? So, yeah, but no, and then there's a final scene, a Christmassy scene, where they come back to Uncle Jingle's house, and there is a surprise little ending to the final episode.
Oh, wow.
Let's just say, ooh. I'll even tell you this. My wife, who plays Kate, and I play Jack. Well, after 6 years together, they get a puppy.
Aww.
An evil puppy.
Robot puppy?
A ghost robot puppy. And I'll, yeah. No, so yeah, it was a lot of fun to do, and I wanted to do it up here, but we had to keep you guys up to date on what's going on. But yeah, hopefully next year, maybe we'll come back.
Great. Sounds great. Right? Thanks again.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
And now, once again, Andrew Walsh and Collective Unconscious.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really knew how to fly. Come on, take it, guys. Simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas. Oh, Merry Christmas. all of you. Merry Christmas!
There we go, right? Yes, okay.
Okay.
Here we go. Little improv for you. Here we go, ready?
What are we doing?
Just hang on. Not yet. You're not here yet.
All right, am I? Shh. Okay. Shh. All right.
Welcome to the Granite City Radio Theater News. I'm your anchor, Eric Webster. We're going to go live out to our roving reporter, Mr. Lee Adams, who's somewhere out there in St. Cloud right now. Before we go to him, though, we're going to need some suggestions from the audience about Christmas. Some Christmas suggestions. We need three.
Fruitcake.
Fruitcake is one.
What'd you call me?
Oh, we both did the same joke at the same time. Huh? Ornaments. Ornaments. Fruitcake.
Elves.
Here we go. Fruitcakes, ornaments, elves. Typical Thursday night. Oh, you guys all just wrote something in your head. There I am. Let's go to our roving reporter, Mr. Lee Adams, who finished doing the Shades Brigade and has had a couple beers, and he's out there somewhere out in St. Cloud. Lee, are you out there with us right now, sir?
Eric, tell me when you want me to go.
I really... Mr. Adams, just
yep.
Wherever you are is going to be fine with me. That's
I'm right here, Eric.
Okay, great.
By a big, giant Santa Claus.
What,
he's an inflatable Santa Claus.
An inflatable Santa Claus.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
How is he possible?
Hang on a minute. There's a dog coming, and I love dogs. Hello, little dog. What's he? He's peeing on the giant Santa Claus, Eric.
Well, it seems like it's just desserts.
Wait a minute. The Santa Claus is moving. It's just a big wind came and the magic hat sat up on top of him and he came to life. And now he's walking through the town and he's throwing ornaments to all the boys and girls.
Wow, he's throwing ornaments.
Ornaments.
Oh, that's different. That's a different religion.
Oh, he's got one of those fruitcakes. Oh, no, he dropped it. It broke a car.
So the inflatable snowman has come to life. He's throwing ornaments
yep.
to all the kids, and he's dropped a fruitcake.
It's on the car, Eric.
Okay.
And the car is completely crushed. The car is crushed down to about 2 feet because of the heavy fruitcake, which is, I don't know if you've heard, but it's really heavy.
I've heard.
The people in that car are going to be gone. Wait, someone's getting out of the car.
Really? Someone has survived this horrible fruitcake car crash?
Lots of them.
Wow. Mr.
Oh, they're elves. They're only a foot and a half tall.
Wow.
And now they're peeing on the giant Santa.
Okay.
Oh, I wish Connected Unconscious was here.
Well, maybe I could arrange
that.
I
wish Subjectives, my poshest pumpkin porpoise. That's a new flavor at Caribou, pumpkin porpoise.
That's the green piece flavor.
So, no, Eric, I mean, we have to go because we're short on time. But I'm in the bar now.
Okay.
I'm fast. I got in the bar.
Good for you. Fantastic.
And I'm with a bunch of people just like me.
Just like you?
Yeah, they're like my peers.
They're like your peers.
They're my peers. They're playing Christmas games.
You're in a bar full of your peers playing Christmas games?
Yep. But I asked if I could and they said no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They're stupid Christmas games. You know what they said?
No, I have not.
Well, I went to the bar to get the beer, and I'm out of money. And I said, I'm broke, which makes me poor. And they said, you're rude for asking.
Oh, they called you rude?
And they called me an oaf.
Yeah, you are kind of a rude oaf at times.
Yeah, and they wouldn't.
They wouldn't let a poor, rude oaf play their lame peer games.
Oh, did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Yeah. Lee Adams.
Oh!
That's our show, folks. Thank you so much. Big thanks to KVSC and the Pioneer Place. Big thanks to all our tech technicians up in the booth. Couldn't have done it without them. And Collective Unconscious. Take it away. Good night.
KVSC's Granite City Radio Theater was presented with funding from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and was produced in partnership with the Pioneer Place on 5th Theater. Jay Terry has been your host for this theatrical night of Jolly with a cast including Eric Webster, Shannon Custer, Lee Adams, David Gangler, Anthony Michael, Leanna Livingston, Grant Hagee, Jeff Carmack, and special musical guest Andrew Walsh. Our producers and tinsel tighteners have been Jay Terry and Jeff Carmack. Musical director and Collective Unconscious Grinch Sniffer was Muggsy Lauer. Writing and Naughty List intellectual development was provided by Eric Webster, Jeff Carmack, Jay Terry, Anthony Michael, and Dan Barth. Trivia master and reindeer trainer was Dan Barth. Stage manager and mistletoe etiquette enforcer is Emily Anke. Pioneer Place technical director and stocking stuffer is Justin Hooper. Sound engineer and jingle bell tuner is Jeremy White. Lighting and technical engineer and treetop angel placer is Brent Anderson. KVSC live technology support and little store of honey baked ham is Alex Hartman. Alex Hartman's eager engineering henchmen and Candy King Crusaders have been Jim Gray and Casey Lundy. KVSC studio technician and Christmas Carol interpretive dance choreographer back in the basement that bumps is Dr. James W. Beard and Declan the Dexter Gah. This is Gina Carlson. I still like caramel apples and candy canes, and we look forward to seeing you on March 19th for another installment of the Granite City Radio Theater. Please remember to pledge your support to community radio at kvsc.org or at 320-308-5872. Thank you for your support, your ears, and your laughter. And now, back to regular programming on KVSC St. Cloud, your sound alternative.
Dust off that phone, chug that energy drink, and begin your brain calisthenics because trivia...